Jenny Carlson, and we are high above Owen Field late at night after a unique OU spring game. Moved to Friday night, and guys, it was a rousing success. The announced crowd was 52,000. I guessed 40, but heck, I don't get to see, it might have been 50. It was impressive to me for this many people to come out on a Friday night with 3 days' notice that the game was going to be moved up a day.
It was definitely a cool atmosphere, and I think the weather may have done OU a favor, not only for this year, but maybe for the future. After the game, Lincoln Riley basically said it was the best spring game he had been a part of in his career, not only, I think, for the game and the fans, but kind of more importantly for the program, their recruiting, and just kind of the atmosphere of the whole thing. I think even with the late notice, there was a certain excitement that sometimes you don't get with a spring game.
Yeah, and he also said, listen, this might be a new tradition. I think this might have been the first OU spring game on a Friday night, but I don't think it's going to be the last. I don't know if they're going to do it again next year, but it would not shock me if this is a – I mean, obviously this was out of necessity. It sounds like it's going to be not a great day weather-wise on Saturday, so they had to make a decision. Do you want to try to play in that, or do you want to try to beat the weather? They did, and I think they found something they liked in the process. It's going to be interesting to see what happens a year from now.
And Lincoln, you wrote about this, Jacko, but Lincoln saluted the crowd, the fans, and I endorse his endorsement. To have this many people on a Friday night with no real opportunity to plan shows, and Lincoln said this, it shows that the fans are not just nutty about OU football, but they're on board with when Lincoln stands up and says, hey, we need a big crowd at the spring game because it's part of our grand recruiting scheme. It shows that thousands of fans are on board and listening to exactly what he says.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting too. We were sort of talking about this after Lincoln Riley finished, players were finished up. The fact that during the spring, you know, it's not necessarily bad to give people their weekends. There's a lot going on in the springtime, you know, with, you know, kids events and school events, and everybody's kind of getting, you know, things wrapped up. And obviously, Friday has its own challenges. There's probably people that came tonight that couldn't have been here on a Saturday, but maybe it's the opposite for some other people. So you're never going to get everybody. But, you know, Friday night, and I probably for people coming from far away, that's a challenge. But, you know, a bulk of your people are probably – you're going to hit a lot of people getting Norman, Oklahoma City, Edmond. They'll be here for a 7 o'clock kick on a Friday night if they can be. You know, if you're coming from Woodward – maybe not, but that's going to be a challenge when it comes to the spring game if they do make this a permanent switch.
And I think it was, just from what I saw, it was popular among students as well. I mean, you know, they can still do whatever they want to do later on a Friday night, but you can come to come to the game early, go to the concert if they wanted to. I think it worked out pretty well, and Lincoln Riley kind of admitted that they had sort of toyed around with this idea even before the weather came and before they were forced to move it up with a Friday night. And as we've seen last year, them playing all the 11 o'clock games and noon games, I think fans like being here sort of under the lights.
Well, it was just – I thought it was a rousing success, and kudos to everybody that put it on. You know, Lincoln talked about it tonight. I heard Kenny Mossman on the radio earlier in the week talking about all the massive amount of people who are involved when you have to change something like this, from concession stand workers, which, you know, those are not university employees or even concession employees. Those are all kinds of volunteers for civic organizations and all kinds of things. Security people,
yeah.
Just, I mean, you got to get the campus involved because you got 50,000 people coming to their stadium at 7 o'clock when school's going on till 5, and you know the entire staff is working till 5 o'clock. So it's a total mess, and to pull it off shows that, you know, it would be really workable in the future.
Well, we have our own example of this. Our buddy Ryan Aber is not here because
– shout out to Ryan.
We miss Ryan, but he's where he needs to be. His daughter's, I think, 8th birthday was tonight. They were going to a skating rink. She picked a skating rink because he loves to skate. And when we saw that there was a crossover, we all said, Ryan, you got to go. And so here we sit But that's, I'm sure that's the same with some people. So yeah, for 50 plus thousand to have made it, I don't think they quite broke the spring game record, but like Lincoln said, eventually they're going to get some good weather for a game and, you know, not have to change it up. And who knows, they might get 60, 65, 70 come one day.
Well, you know, for everybody that couldn't come tonight, there's probably some that could.
Yeah.
I'm here tonight because they moved the game. I wouldn't be here if the game was tomorrow. I got to, you know, get on an airplane. So I thought it was a rousing success. And, of course, the bottom line is going to be what happens with these recruits that were here. And I thought the sales pitch was pretty impressive. You know, a pregame video. You wrote about it, Jacko. Pregame video with all the NFL players talking about how great it is to be a Sooner. And, you know, it probably had a pretty good impact on those guys. And so, yeah, it you're hard-pressed to find any negatives about what's going on.
And you had the, you know, some former legends that came back as captains. Kyler Murray was out there at midfield for the coin toss. You had the guys get their Big 12 championship rings from last season. So, I mean, Lincoln said a book could be written about the planning process that goes into one of these, and maybe we don't always see that, but he's turned this into kind of a mega event for recruiting, and addressed that after the game, saying that, you know, commitments might not come right now or in the immediate hours after this, but in the next week or so, probably wouldn't be a surprise to see a few trickle in.
Now, hopefully, Lincoln will just give us the cliff notes, because nobody really wants to write a book about the planning process of all this. I mean, if he just wants to drop a few hints to us, for, you know, we'll be glad to listen. But
maybe we can write 35 inches and not, you know, 35 novels.
How about a brief for page two? But no, it was a great time. You know, and even the weather. I got up this morning. I went outside and did a little work outside. It's 48 degrees, and I thought, man, it's not – you know, this isn't great weather, even for trying to beat the weather. Got up into the early, low 60s, I think, 62, 64 is the high today. But even at kickoff, it was nice and pleasant. And you know what? It sort of felt like a football.
Yeah.
It sort of felt like football weather.
Well, remember last year when they had the spring game part of the day?
Oh.
Part of the
It's 39 degrees.
Barry remembers.
Bob Stoops statue unveiling. It's 39 degrees, like at 11 o'clock in the morning, and windy.
Yeah.
That was the most miserable football experience of my last 5 years, since 13 Bedlam up in Stillwater when it was so cold and icy. The worst football weather I've experienced was the 18 spring game at Norman.
I don't know if you remember that Iowa State press box last year was a little warm.
You got me on that, St. Joe. You're right. You're right. It was 97. Jacko, it was 90-something degrees in the press box at Ames. Windows didn't open. I was sweating before I got there at 9 a.m. We got to the – that's 11 a.m.
Yeah.
You're right. I stand corrected. That wasn't just the most miserable football I've ever felt. That was the most miserable anything I've ever felt.
It was rough.
Let me tell you how bad it was. I don't mind. Me and St. Joe.
It was so bad, you've blocked it from your memory.
Me and St. Joe drove home because the game was over. You know, we were through by 6 o'clock or something, ready to come home, so we drove all the way home. We get to our car there north of Hilton Coliseum, and we changed clothes. I got in the back of the car. I had a little modesty. St. Joe didn't care. Right there in the parking lot in front of
it
God
changed.
And country.
Wait a minute.
He just changed clothes.
Did he go Anthony Slater on us in Ames?
It was Anthony Slater extreme.
Anthony Slater used to change shirts wherever he was.
He didn't matter. Yeah, St. Joe changed more than his shirt.
We had to do it. We had a long drive ahead of us, and I don't think we were prepared to drive home in sweaty clothes.
No, it was bad. It was bad. Jalen Hurts was here tonight, too. He was part of the crowd of 50,000.
He trotted out there and played football for Oklahoma.
And I got to say, the guy looked pretty good. I thought Jalen Hurts was excellent tonight. And clearly had the better scrimmage than Tanner Mordecai. There are people saying that Mordecai's been looking good in the spring. But my goodness, the difference between them tonight was pretty, pretty vast.
Yeah, I sort of wrote about this after the game, and it kind of reminds me a little bit of last year, how it was billed as a quarterback competition between Kyler Murray and Austin Kendall, and Lincoln addressed that again tonight, saying it, you know, if one of them had emerged, they would have named a starter more, you know, sooner than they actually did. I wouldn't be surprised if Jalen Hurts is not named a starter soon, just because, you know, one spring game wasn't going to clinch it. I think we all knew Jalen Hurts was the starter, the presumed starter, ever since he wrote the letter in the Players Tribune announcing he was transferring to OU. But tonight, 11 of 14, 174 yards, one touchdown through the air, another on the ground. First play of the game, 33-yard pass to Nick Basquin, kind of rolling out to his right. He just looked really comfortable out there.
Yeah, nothing that really, you know, I don't think we saw anything that would wow necessarily. You know, you didn't see any of the bombs like we've seen, you know, to Marquise Brown or CD or, you know, any of that over the last couple of years. But, you know, it is the spring game. So, I mean, it's not – I mean, I think that's part of it too. But, yeah, I thought accuracy – Barry, you talked about this, I think, on video a couple times. You know, that the accuracy has got to be there. You know, maybe he doesn't have the long downfield throws that we've seen out of Mayfield, out of Murray – but you got to be accurate in this offense. And it looks to me that he is. Now, what Barry said is right. You know, there is talk that Mordecai has been much better in practice. It's much closer in practice. But if this is the difference when the lights are on and people are in the stands, I think it's pretty clearly Jalen Hurts' job right now. How that all fleshes out, the timing of everything. Lincoln Riley seemed to indicate maybe he was open to the possibility of announcing a starter earlier than he has the last couple times. We'll see.
Three incompletions for Hurts. No spectacular catches. Nobody had to make a spectacular catch tonight. But three incompletions for Hurts. One was a throwaway when he was scrambling. He threw it in the direction of a guy, but it's clearly a throwaway. Another was a deep fade that was on target, but just really well covered. I forget, Miguel Edwards, or maybe it was –
was it Motley? The Morris and Morris? Remember, or?
Maybe somebody.
Oh no, the one in the end zone.
Yeah,
that was Motley.
Yeah, down here in the northwest corner. But I can't remember the other incompletion. But at the most, he had one off-target throw, and maybe it was zero. So that's what I wanted to see the most, was accuracy out of the quarterbacks, and I thought Jalen Hurts was really accurate. He threw two or three deep balls, and you're right, they weren't the NFL type strikes that we've been seeing. They were more like fades, Josh Heupel-type throws. But let me tell you, Josh Heupel threw a lot of big-time completions using that. So I thought it was pretty impressive by Jalen Hurts. He moved well. You know, anybody that had really hit him would have had their scholarship suspended and taken to the Cleveland County Jail immediately. But still, you know, he was moving good, and clearly he's a big, strong guy that can run. So count me as completely impressed by Jalen Hurts. And I loved him in the post game too, by the way.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, going from – I wasn't here for Baker, but from Baker to Kyler and now to Jalen Hurts, just all how they compose themselves in the post game press conference. And I think Jalen sort of reminds me of Kyler, but he's less edgy. I think Jalen's a little more refined in what he says, but he clearly knows what he's doing up there. So it's just interesting to see how he sort of interacts.
Barry called it charm. He doesn't necessarily always answer your questions, right, but he's still charming when he doesn't.
He does it in a charming way. Like, you know, he was asked tonight what it was like to wear the Oklahoma colors for the first time, and I thought it was a stupid question.
He was wearing blue.
Well, I thought it was a stupid question because
it's also
he
the
hasn't
colors
changed
he's worn.
Colors.
Yeah,
he's played. He
crimson
just came from the Crimson Tide, and now he's playing in the Crimson and Cream game. He hasn't changed colors.
Wearing blue,
except he pointed out I was actually wearing blue, so I didn't really get it. You know, I don't. What he really said was, "That's a stupid question. I was wearing blue tonight." So, yeah, but he also, you know what he doesn't do? He doesn't answer anything he doesn't want to answer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He does it in a charming way or in a polite way, whatever. Kyler just sort of say, I don't know, or I don't care, whatever. Not belligerent, but just would sort of brush it off. Hurts will answer the question. Well, no, he will answer, he will say something interesting.
Yeah.
It won't answer the question.
Exactly.
So he's clearly going to be the quarterback and the team leader of this squad, I think.
Yeah, I mean, just the way the guys talk about – I mean, he arrived in January, but listening to how they talk about him, Justin Broyles was over there after the game. He had an interception tonight, played pretty well, did not intercept Jalen Hurts, but he said that when Jalen Hurts walks in the room, everyone knows Jalen Hurts is in there. Like, you just don't hear guys say that about other people on the team.
Well, and Justin's a guy that has a pretty good presence about him too, you know. And I heard something similar come from Trey Brown, who also, mm-hmm. you know, has a lot of leadership abilities and seems like a guy that is listened to on the defense. But somebody essentially asked, you know, do you think it's been hard for a guy to leave, you know, where Jalen's all of the he's come through and to come to here? And Trey kind of snickered a little bit and said, no. I mean, basically, this guy has fit right in. We saw the first time he came and talked with us, you know, made his first comments since he had transferred, talked about elevating and, you know, expanding on what's already been done here. And you could just sense that this is a guy that comes at where he is, not only on the football field, but in life from a different perspective. He's seen a lot. He's done a lot. Yeah, I mean, I was thinking and talking about naming a quarterback. You know, I think it was the one I remember, and Barry, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, Jason White, I think, got named the quarterback in the middle of the summer one year. Yeah.
I think that was more Bob Stoops really mad at Brent Rawls was part of it. But we have seen Stoops has done it more than just – in different ways than just August 18th or something, you know, which has sort of become the standard. Mm-hmm. So I sort of think it could happen earlier than mid-August.
Yeah, I don't think he would have hinted after the game that, you know, them as a staff don't necessarily have to wait until a week before the season to name a starter as they did last year. Yeah. Him saying that kind of, I think, at least
opens the door
that it could happen at some point.
Two things going on here. One is you don't want to alienate your other quarterbacks. In this case, there's only one, Tanner Mordecai, and you know, potentially entice him to transfer, but
lose the depth.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't want to lose him. On the other hand, if everybody on the squad knows who the quarterback's going to be, not saying so is really sort of silly.
Mm-hmm.
You lose a little credibility, not with the fans, but with your own team. And basically, the quarterbacks become the in some ways they're the head coaches of the summer.
Yeah.
Because you know they organize the workouts and all that kind of thing. The football work, not the conditioning workouts, but that's where
7-on-7.
Right. The passing drills, all that stuff. So if they know it's going to be the guy, and, you know, we've seen other coaches do it different ways too. You know, Mike Gundy's waited till the last minute, but he's also just tossed it out in the middle of the summer too. So I sort of think we're going to get it earlier this year. Yeah. I really do. And, you know, to me, Jalen Hurts is he's not just a veteran, but he seems wise beyond his years.
Old soul.
Like, remember one thing he said tonight was you know, somebody asked him about Alabama and trying to get him. He said, I told you, I'm not going to do comparisons. But he did do a comparison on his own, unprompted, when people asked him about the photo shoot in the end zone. After his offense scored a touchdown, they sort of did an impromptu photo shoot, sort of mimicking the NFL deal, not quite as elaborate. And somebody asked him about it, and he said, "Yeah, well, I just sort of decided to do it, blah blah blah." And then he just offered without prompting. He said, "You know, my old coach probably wouldn't have gone for that." Talk about Nick Saban. Yeah. So he did do a little comparison. Yeah. So he's in that. To me, that just showed he's in total command. I mean, on one point he'll say, "I'm not doing comparisons," but 2 minutes later,
when he wants to compare,
he's going to compare. Yeah. So he's clearly got the leadership gene. And tonight we also saw that he's got the throwing gene.
Well, and you know, when you think about it, guys, to have a guy like Jalen Hurts, I mean, the benefits are hit on a lot of levels. But Barry, what you said about the quarterback being the leader in the summer, think about the offense. They've got some great pieces, but they've also got some pieces that are evolving. All those young wide receivers who look like they're going to be important pieces in this offense. To have a guy like Jalen Hurts running herd over those guys, an offensive line almost totally rebuilt, to have him potentially helping those guys along. It, you know, if they see that he could potentially help those young and evolving groups in some way, I mean, not only, I mean, he's going to have to win it. You know, if what we saw tonight is any indication, he's going to win it with his play. But then you add in those extra benefits that he could potentially bring to summertime, and it makes me think even more that he's a guy to go with earlier maybe than we've seen Lincoln Riley go with guys before.
Yeah, I definitely think that's right. They need some sort of leadership on that front. You mentioned the three freshman wide receivers, all who looked pretty good today. And then
Trajan Bridges, Barry.
Trajan Bridges, Barry nailed it.
I have to take credit. I told you the other day, after I did extensive study of about 2 seconds, I picked his name off a roster. But I picked him as the breakout star of the spring game. It's not what I said. I think I picked him as the guy I was most looking forward to see. I think that's what I did.
I think that's
right.
Either
way, good job. Yeah. Sorry to cut you off, Joe. I had to give Barry some props.
But just with those guys as the freshmen, and then it's kind of crazy to go from last season, this offensive line won the Joe Moore Award. They're all going to the NFL, minus Creed Humphrey, who's just a sophomore, but he's hurt, didn't participate in the spring. But he would be the one returning starter. The two starting centers tonight were both walk-ons, Clayton Woods and Ian McIver, who I don't think you're going to see too much in the fall. And then I thought it was interesting. I kind of thought they might put what would be the starting offensive line with Jalen Hurts to kind of have that cohesion. But Lincoln said that the two projected starting guards were with Tanner Mordecai, the two projected starting tackles, who were Eric Swenson on the left side and Adrian Ely at right tackle, were with Hurts. So they kind of both had split offensive lines. So it was really hard to take away anything from kind of this offensive line group today because, one, they lost so much, and two, the leader, Creed Humphrey, wasn't out there.
Outside of quarterbacks, let's take quarterbacks out of the equation. Who caught your eye tonight? What'd you like individually? Who'd you see that you really liked?
I thought Justin Broyles stood out defensively. I mean, I thought that several of those defensive backs, looked okay out there, saw some extra energy. Bookie Radley-Hiles would have had a breakaway straight shot at the quarterback, I think, on Tanner Mordecai's blind side. He was credited with a 7-yard sack, but it's kind of hard to take away too much defensively in a game where you can't get after the quarterback at all, can't really touch them. But I thought there was at least maybe the first step of some encouraging signs in the defensive backfield.
Yeah, and Justin Broyles was the one that first sprang to mind for me. And I will say, I will answer the question here in a second, but I will say that didn't seem like to me, guys, that there were a ton of receivers running wide open. Now, again, we're talking spring game. We're talking split squad, all the factors here. But that's at least a positive sign. And frankly, maybe a missed tackle or two, but not maybe as bad as we saw at some junctures last year with the Oklahoma defense. So I think some improvement overall that maybe Justin Broyles was kind of the leader of the pack in that regard. I mean, I know we talked about Trajan Bridges, but I was impressed with him. I mean, I think, when you think this guy just got here and, receiver is one of those positions I think guys can make that kind of impact. But still, he looks really like he could be, seeing significant snaps in the fall. When you think about the fact that he's really only been in the system for 3 months, 4 months. I mean, and has only, what are they? Is this practice 14 for the, they got one more? Or was that where we are?
I think this was it. I don't, maybe
okay.
One more.
Well, whatever. Wherever. I mean, still,
yeah, end of
it's
spring,
a limited
yeah.
number of practices for a guy at the college level. And I thought he looked comfortable. I thought he made some good adjustments, some nice catches. So I was really impressed by him.
The DBs impressed me in general because you're right, Jacko. Nobody was running free. Now, I don't think the offense did a whole lot. They were pretty vanilla, but the defense, same thing probably. So,
yeah,
covering guys has been a problem at times, and I thought Miguel Edwards made a play or two. Motley.
Yeah.
Of course, Trey Brown's going to be good. You know that. And Broyles was all over the field. So, I thought it was a very good night for the OU DBs.
You know, Trey Brown talked after the game about press coverage and the fact that that's the way it looks to be trending with the DBs and not sort of backing off and giving cushion like they have in the past. So there's probably some times in some games where in opponents in the Big 12 where you can't, you have to be a little more cautious, but that's a whole different thing that we haven't seen in a really long time. And so if they can translate that into something they do regularly to sort of have a little bit tighter contact with receivers more often, if tonight is any indication, I mean, I thought they played pretty solidly, and it's never going to be easy. So I thought it was a pretty positive sign.
Yeah, and it's hard to see how much, I mean, can't tell from a one-game sample in April how much scheme-wise has changed defensively, but kind of like you mentioned, pressing up more physicality, kind of more fight at the line of scrimmage. Those are all things that Alex Grinch has sort of talked about when he came here, and we've talked a ton about forcing turnovers and just – seeing every play as a chance to make a turnover. And it's just that message is so instilled in these guys' mind already, because no matter who you talk to after the game on the defensive side, they talk about turnovers and how much Grinch stresses that. So I think you can at least see, maybe not schematically on the field, but mindset off the field, sort of the changes of this new defensive staff.
I can't tell what's going on in the interiors of a real game, much less of a fake game. But Lincoln was high on the D-line after the game. He said he thought they were pretty engaged and active and causing some of the disruption up there. So that's a good sign. I don't recall seeing a linebacker all night do anything, and I wasn't really looking for him, but they certainly didn't present themselves to me, and Lincoln didn't talk about him. So that might move to the forefront of biggest concern, because, on the line, Gallimore's a really good player, and when Neville Gallimore is healthy, and which he is right now, so – the line's probably going to be okay. Those linebackers, I just don't know. Deshaun White should be a good player. Kenneth Murray should be a good player. We'll see where it goes from there.
I'm giving the linebackers, but I'm with you, Barry. I feel like I didn't see a linebacker make a play all night. But I will say, losing Caleb Kelly, then splitting the remaining linebackers, I'm not giving them a pass, but I'm sort of saying, okay, maybe tonight wasn't the night to show that you're ready to be Oklahoma linebackers of old. But those guys have got to start to impact the game in ways that they haven't in the last 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah, I think that's clearly the question mark defensively, especially losing Caleb Kelly. The numbers don't really stand out. Brian Meade was tied for the team lead with 4.5 tackles, which obviously isn't a big number, but they were rotating so many guys in. But he might be a guy that has to step up, even potentially into a starting spot, or move a guy like Deshaun White around, because he looks to be really good. But linebacker, kind of even before the Caleb Kelly injury, I think we had talked about that as a question mark, and especially so afterward.
Well, all in all, I think we can sum it up. Great night for Oklahoma football. Crowd turned out. Lincoln was all fired up about the recruiting situation. The rest of us were fired up about his new quarterback, so everybody's happy here.
The eyeballs he always tweets out are currently still on the big screen.
Well,
here.
There you go. There you
at
go.
The stadium.
I think the recruiting party is in on the practice field in the back. There are food trucks and tents and music and lights, and so wouldn't be surprised if that's an all evening affair. Even though the spring game. Part of the spring game weekend is over.
Yeah, good night for all concerned. So, kudos to the fans. You were involved. You were part of this. So, kudos to Lincoln for thinking it all up and having the administration to organize it. And kudos for Jalen Hurts for producing and being the quarterback that everybody was hoping he would be. So, all in all, a good night for Oklahoma football. Well, we'll wrap it up. And we will say good night, and we will keep you abreast of all things Sooner football. This has been a Sooner Extra podcast. We'll talk to you later.